Hi, this is Kat Kerr. I am the author of Revealing Heaven 1 and 2. I've known the Lord from the age of 4 years old. I'm 64, and I'm looking forward to living a very long time on this earth because I have a commission from God to reveal heaven on earth and then create things that I saw in heaven and put them on this earth. This is an exciting time to be alive. Please know this, that God celebrates your life. He does love you. He has great plans for you. The Father is unspeakably amazing. His hair is white. It glistens. Even it looks alive. His eyes are blue flames of fire. This living rainbow that emanates from his being in and out. In waves, it goes through the throne room. It touches and passes through the people. They celebrate, they cheer, they love him. You know, he is your father. You are his offspring. You need to change your mindset about who you are. We were created to be powerful in this earth because Christ was powerful in this earth. Christ is very rugged. He's strong, about 6 foot tall. He has beautiful blue eyes, but I do know this about Christ, that he can change the color of his eyes, sometimes to even the color of your eyes, if he's letting you meet him face to face. Sometimes the glory is like a million diamonds, blinding. As he walks across heaven, everyone runs after him because they love him. The Lord of glory, I can tell you, he's got a neatly trimmed beard. He's got soft curls that go down to just about to his shoulder. His hair is beautiful. It's not straight. He's very strong. You can see the pricks of the crown of thorns he had on his head. You can put your finger through the holes in his hands, and those are marks of love for you and I. And I adore him. He is my everything. I pursued him for 20 years of my life. He was the air I breathed, and one day he walked through the wall of my home, and I was never the same. You know, you won't be. You cannot encounter him or the Father without being changed forever. And Holy Spirit, please invite him to indwell you if you haven't done that. It's real simple. Just tell him you want him to indwell you. You want to experience indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he'll send a layer of himself in you, which is a whole of him, and you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He'll be inside you, guiding you, speaking to you. And the more time you give to spend with them, it's not that hard. Just pick a time and say, I used to say, I'm going to meet with you tonight at 10 o'clock at midnight. I'm going to go into this room and I'm going to expect you to be there because I'm going to worship you. I'm going to love you. I just want to have a conversation with you. I would do that night after night after night. And I was always there. I kept my time with him. And then it finally grew from midnight to 4 a.m. I would spend time speaking to him. I could feel his presence so strong. But from the time I saw him, I was never the same again. And I can tell you that he gave up everything to die for us. He changed his very appearance from the Word, this magnificent member of the triune Godhead. The Father would go somewhere and the Word would step in him and go with him. And then God would go out in space or something to make, God would speak what he wanted and the Word would step out of him and make it. That's why he's made everything that's ever existed. He loves you. He loves me. He is the Lord of glory. He's the ruling one. He's the powerful one. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants for you. The Holy Spirit, they call him the drama king. He loves drama. If you've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit or if you've seen activities of the Spirit of God, he causes drama. But he actually loves the arts. The Holy Spirit loves the arts, and they're going to use the arts in this kingdom age to do miraculous miracles, to release healing, wholeness, raise the dead. The arts are going to be used in amazing ways. And then, of course, I was already speaking about the Father. He is love. And people would say, what does he look like? And I'd say, he looks like love. Magnificent, powerful, this being who carried us, life goes in and out of him all the time as he sits on the throne. The stones of fire on the inside of him burn with passion for you and I. His throne is in the middle of the throne room where all of the his children can dance around. There's four steps of that go up the steps of the throne. And actually, the whole throne is like a structure. It's so huge. And there's rooms under the throne that people come, go inside and intercede sometimes. And when it talks about in the Word, the souls that are under the altar, that's what that means. There's an altar before the throne of God. But the souls, those are the people who live in heaven. They will go in these rooms that are under this whole throne structure and just intercede for the things of God, the plans of God, for their family members. It's such an amazing experience to be in the throne room of God. That river of life flows from the Father down the very steps. And sometimes people are just there drinking this liquid life pouring into them, and they celebrate in the throne room. The seraphim live over the throne in the atmosphere, and they will dip down. They're the burning ones. You should be a burning one for him. The burning ones, they come down. It's like their whole being is on fire. Look like blue fire, their hair. And they sing some of the most amazing songs over the throne. And then there's these four living creatures, these massive beings with thousands of eyes in the front and in the back. And they walk upright. They're not animals. They're living creatures. They look part human, part creature. But I can tell you, these are highly intelligent, beautiful, powerful beings. They have gossamer gowns. They're considered royalty. They're the closest thing to the throne. Then out from around there, the 24 elders that are ancient eternal beings. These are spiritual beings that are like a wise council. God doesn't have to take their counsel, but the Father likes to include us in his plans and others in his plans. I can tell you, heaven knows what it's doing. Heaven has known all of this for a very long time. They're not surprised about what's going on earth, but yes, God has a plan to change things for generations of time on this earth. So you can know the Father, the Son, you can know Holy Spirit. He is my best friend, and he wants you, God wants you to know them. He wants you to trust them, but you have to start somewhere. You have to let go of the fear, the anger, the confusion. You have to let go of any vices that hold you down and be free in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you made all of us. You love us. Your heart is for us and not against us. I thank you for pouring out your love, your mercy, and your grace, Father. But along with that, your revelation, your power, your presence, your magnificence, your splendor, your wonders that are about to stun this world and shake hell. I thank you for letting me speak to you. And I just wanted to add this bit of revelation for you. So many people want to know what they look like. The Holy Spirit looks like a whirlwind, but he is a real, literal being, invisible being, but he does sometimes wear it like a cape, a cloak. He has like fire outlining his being sometimes, and he has this whirlwind of colors that go around him. He's fantastic, and Christ, I told you, is very strong, powerfully built. He was a carpenter on the earth. His eyes are liquid pools of love, and you will just burn for him when you meet him in heaven or meet him on the earth. You'll never, ever forget him. And I pray that this maybe gives you a little bit of glimpse about them. Since we're talking about heaven culture, everyone in heaven lives with them. Your family members aren't alone. They're not sitting somewhere in heaven without anything. They've got a beautiful place prepared for them. And on their mansion property are doors on their property. And they go through a door, they're in another property that is theirs in heaven. God's unspeakable love and blessings flow all over heaven. But right now he's focusing on this earth, on you, on me, those who love him, those who love his Son, those who share the truth, that pour out their self. God is about to put you in a place of greatness, and renown in this earth. And God said that in eternity they will sing about the things that we will do on this earth. That's you he's talking about. That's me he's talking about. Let's get together, lay down our differences, and show this world the living God. I hope you enjoyed that tour of the throne room. It's always my favorite place to be caught up to, but right now we're going to learn a little bit more about life in heaven itself, because if this is the time for on earth as it is in heaven, then you need to know what heaven is like. First of all, heaven is not a building. In my Father's house are many buildings. His house is a world bigger than our galaxy. The most amazing thing beyond your imagination, even beyond the known realm, the physical realm. It's not in space somewhere. It's beyond space itself. If you were to travel to heaven in the spirit realm, you would see the most glorious planet out there, the Father's house. It glows like a billion diamonds, and the streaks of the color that come from the throne room go through space. Millions of angels are in the atmosphere. We call that the celestial realm. And I've seen some, like maybe 1,000, just in a cube, up over the atmosphere of heaven, and all they do is spin continually and sing praises to God. There's platforms in the celestial realm. There's even thrones up there. Many people are caught up there and have encounters, thinking that it is heaven itself. And I found that people are taken many different places in heaven. There's throne rooms inside. He has many inside his temple up there. There's the commissioning throne room. There's the boardroom that has a throne. There's even an intercessory room with a throne. The main throne room is the one that I just spoke about. But God has created things all over heaven for us to enjoy when we're taken home to heaven. You get a welcome home party. They don't have a funeral in heaven. That's our idea down here. But in heaven, they have a party when you come home. Not only do you have one in the throne room, but you also have one in your own mansion. As a matter of fact, all of your loved ones and friends who live there, every year that you are apart, they will go get a gift and put it in your mansion. And so they're very excited the day God has decided to bring you home. There's a way they can find out about that. There's something in heaven called the portal. These are actual buildings. They're not just like openings in the sky or in the clouds. When you hear the word portal, I know that's what you think about. But in heaven, it's an actual a facility that God has created. People come in this beautiful building. It's all gold. You walk up the stairway and look over a balcony railing. And whoever they're thinking about in heaven, on earth, they will immediately see them as close as your ceiling. They're watching our life. They're cheering us on. Every day on your birthday, they'll go there and sing happy birthday to you. I've actually had an encounter once where I was caught up and I actually heard someone singing to the family members on the earth. And then they went and got gifts and put them in their mansion. So I've had an eyewitness account to this. There's other things the portal is used for. This building in heaven, there's huge columns in this building. And the ones on the right, if faces begin to appear, that means those people are about to give their heart to the Lord, because you know he knows everything about us. People will send out messages all over heaven, get to a portal. Your family member is about to give themselves to Jesus. And then the columns on the other side, they have faces appear on them when someone is going to be coming home to heaven. And that's one of the ways they know to meet you at the gate. And also, there's many fun places in heaven. There's an amusement park there. There's places called Valley of the Falls, Passionate Paradise. There's Video Land, Cartoon Village. You can imagine what happens there. Yes, there is a way that you can create a cartoon in heaven, and then you become a cartoon, and you're in the cartoon. And all of your friends will come to watch it in heaven or be in it with you. And then when it's over, you will step out of that cartoon and you'll be yourself again. Heaven is a supernatural place where many creative and inventive things are made for you. And God has created heaven so that when we get home there, we'll use our gifts. It's the way heaven operates. And actually, he called me up one time and said, I'm going to show you how heaven operates. Which made me understand the scripture that says your gifts are without repentance, because you should know what your passion is, the thing you love the most. It's probably your hobby. Or if you could do something and make a living doing it, that would probably be your gift. They're also irrevocable, which means he will not ever take that away from you, because when you get to heaven, he plans on you using that gift. That's why there's so many places filled with adventure and wonder.
and fun in heaven, because many of us have different gifts. When you go home to heaven, your mansion and all of your property is designed around that gift. And I'll give a few examples of that. Let's say you're a baker. You make amazing desserts and everybody loves them, and say you should have a bakery or a restaurant yourself here. Well, I will promise you that when you get to heaven, you will have one. The glorious thing about heaven is you don't just smell aromas, you see aromas. And so if somebody new comes home to heaven and God has made in their mansion this amazing bakery and even a place for people to come and sit and enjoy all of your delicious things that you have made, all for free, that people can follow your aromas all the way back to your mansion. And I promise you, Jesus will be there because he does have a sweet tooth. He does love sweets, and so if you have one, blame it on him. And there's also things like rodeos, because someone has a gift to hold rodeos. That means that their entire property is made with a big arena on it. You can't get hurt or injured, but let me tell you, you will not think it's, you're going to find out it's not so easy to ride bulls in heaven or any of the Mustangs they have there, because these are heavenly creatures and they're probably smarter than you anyway. And so people who love that, that's what God would give them. If they were going to design architecture in their own place where they live, they would have the ability to show you different ways to build things in heaven, not your mansion. But people have events all the time in heaven where they actually have structures built or things built on their property to hold people or to entertain the people who come there to their events. And even though there's no clock or calendars, you know when that event is going to take place. So heaven is, that's how heaven also operates, is not by a time clock or a time period. It's by events that take place. Even the very end of time on this earth will not be a date. It will be an event. And I'm not going to give you that mystery. You'll have to get that from God. So heaven also has beautiful things like florist shops. The difference in the florist shop in heaven is that you have acres of flowers in heaven that change colors, that make music. So you could create a whole symphony in one arrangement. And I've actually seen people in heaven going to this florist and getting these 5-foot floral arrangements and putting them in their family member's home right before it's about time to come home. And when they come in the front door of their mansion, the flowers will sing welcome home to them, and they sing beautiful songs or melodies, probably whatever their music choice is in heaven. And they have garments there. They have garments that change colors, that make music. There's amazing places in heaven. The amusement park, for instance, they have roller coasters that go across on the tracks, leap across the sky to another part of the track. They can't do that on earth. I don't think the insurance liability would let them. But in heaven, nobody can get hurt. Nobody can die. You already did that to get there, okay? Unless you happen to be Elijah or Enoch. And so they're already there. They already got their passes for eternity. But those who are going to die and move to heaven will have amazing, fantastic places to experience there. Another thing that I know about heaven is wherever you worship in heaven, you are literally caught up and ride on your own worship across the skies of heaven. And towards the throne room, you'll see streams of people all the time worshiping and moving all in one direction. That is to worship the Lord in the throne room. I'm going to go ahead and change subjects now. We're going to talk about heaven on earth. You know, learning about heaven culture is a wonderful thing. God has chosen this time on the earth. He actually calls it the kingdom age. The reason why we're going to do heaven on earth right now is because we have been calling it forth for generations in the Word of God, where it says, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We've been calling in this kingdom age for a very long time. And God does purpose that there will be generations of time on the earth for this to take place, unfold, grow, and be stronger and greater. Every generation that goes by, the next ones following behind you will do greater and be greater in this earth. You cannot escape being great for God. If you're a believer now in this earth and you choose to be chosen, for many are called, but few are chosen, because you actually have to choose to be chosen. So if you want to do that, then say it and mean it when you say that. And God has great plans for you. So heaven on earth, that means manifesting, demonstrating, ruling and reigning, creating new and witty ideas, just like they do in heaven. They come from the idea zone in heaven. and God sends waves of the ideas on around this earth and drops them into the mind of man. And usually, unfortunately, the world actually gets more than we do, or we all get them, but the world actually creates them. But this is a special time on earth when God wants you to receive these witty ideas and inventions. So part of living heaven culture on the earth is to be some of the greatest with the greatest inventions and ideas ever given on the earth. It will actually change life as we know it. Another part of heaven on earth is us living with no fear. The body of Christ living with no fear, living sin-free, because that's not going to be even in your DNA. The more connected with heaven you get, the more you pursue Jesus Christ, the more you step into heaven culture, that falls right off of you. And it doesn't even affect you when the enemy tries to offer you his junk. One of the things the Father's told me recently is that we were not made or created on this earth to be doormats. We are not the doormat. The devil is the doormat. That's why he is under your feet. So keep him there. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Heaven on earth is also, I mentioned a little bit ago about ruling. And part of that, literally, you will be trained how to do that using heaven's army as one of your weapons. And so that's not just keeping sin out of your life or keeping fear out of your life. That's running the devil, not just out of your life, but pushing darkness out of whole regions on this earth until we create regions of light. That is something that you will that will be heaven coming to this earth. Another thing about heaven coming to earth is even our worship is going to change. Not just our singing words will have an impact on the world, but even sounds. You'll notice people begin to create sounds or hear sounds from heaven, and they'll be put them in the worship. And the minute that's released from their voice, God's going to put his frequency in these sounds from heaven. And they won't just be from people. Actually, even some of nature will carry some of these sounds. He's going to put them in certain beings and certain things in nature. And when they make these sounds, the frequency of God will be released and things will happen instantly in people's lives. People will be made whole. People will have demons run out of them. The glory of God will be filled in these people from the frequency of these sounds being released in the earth. It's going to be an amazing time. So that's another thing about heaven coming to earth. And I'll give you one more, and that's us being in charge. It's us taking dominion over the weather, over society, executing the government of God in this earth, even through our government. And we have to step into all those arenas. Don't be afraid to step out into those things. If we're going to be in charge, then we have to have the positions in the natural realm, as well as taking authority in the spirit realm. And that is because at an accelerated rate, the spirit realm is converging with this physical realm, and we cannot stop that from happening. You can't stop that from happening, so don't go hide somewhere and ignore it. Be a part of that convergence, because really, the kingdom will be so clearly seen when we begin to do that and have an understanding of the spirit realm itself, and that's where our real authority is to change things. You will speak and change things. So stay excited about this. And part of what I've already been talking about, actually, I've already started talking about God's will for us right now. His will is for us to let the kingdom be clearly seen in the earth, for you to shine like the stars in the heavens, literally. It's God's about to pour out a greater glory on us that we will carry around this world many times over. That means the power of God will be seen along with the message of the gospel. The glory is from the Father. He carries this glory on him. It comes from his inside of his very being. It emanates all over heaven. His very Son carries this glory and created glory for the Father himself. So your commission right now is to create and carry this glory with your life until it blinds the enemy. It draws the nations to the light that is in you, which is the light of Christ. You know, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's God's will for us right now. It's not to run. It's certainly not to hide. So don't go buy your sea rations and go hide up in the hills, because they're going to get really bad in the next 20 years. You won't want them anyway, and you will have wasted 20 years of your life because God is not ready for the rapture to happen. Actually, the Holy Spirit said, roll up your rapture rug and get your crown on. Another thing that the Father has shown me very clearly is that if this is heaven coming to earth and we're going to live heaven culture, then fun is going to be required in your life. I know many people have worked so many years, even generations, poured out their life, you know, even at the point of lack in their own life that they need things, or they have put aside their own plans just to do God's work all the time. But do you know you're actually supposed to stop and have fun? And you know, Jesus was one of the first ones to stop and smell the roses. This is another revelation I was given, that when Christ stepped out of that tomb, the angels had rolled the stone away, and he stepped out of that tomb. He stepped right into the gardens, right there at the tomb that were in full bloom. And he actually was breathing the aroma of these beautiful flowers when Mary came around and thought he was the gardener. Now, I'll tell you, back in those days, people did not step in the flower beds unless they were a gardener. And that's what she presumed he was, because that's where he was. He's stopping for a moment in time where he had just faced hell for 3 days without the Father, and then stand up and display the glory and the power of God when he wasted hell. And I'm telling you, he melted the faces of the hierarchy of hell right in front of Lucifer, of Satan. Their own leader was left in the dust. Christ had stripped every gemstone off of him. He had totally defeated all of them. And then he turned around and he gave all of us the same authority. But in the moment before he ascended into heaven to pour out his blood on the mercy seat and he'd stepped out of hell, he took a moment to stop and smell the beauty and wonder that he himself had created. He actually loves flowers. So make sure in this time in your life you stop to smell the roses. You stop to enjoy your life. It's necessary to live heaven culture, because you're not really a full human being if you don't enjoy your life and take breaks and experience it in heaven culture. Half of heaven is fun. So make sure you set aside and plan times to have fun. Not only that, heaven is actually released to me that fun is a weapon. The enemy can't put thoughts in you. He can't interfere with your life. If you're laughing and enjoying yourself, I know in his presence is fun, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about having fun like a child, where you just laugh, you're carefree, you're enjoying that moment in your life. It's absolutely required if you're going to live heaven culture, push back darkness, and do great things for God in this earth. And by the way, did you know that you can ask? Let's all just ask him right now. Father,
I ask for
and receive fun,
and receive fun
right now.
Right now.
So I thank you
for providing for me
to have fun. Amen.
Amen.
I already covered a little bit about creators and inventors. Do you know that the Father's actually passing out positions right now and commissions on the earth to be a creator? After all, he is our Father. That should be a part of our DNA to create. But I'll give you a few tips about creating, because I've started doing that myself. I've got all kinds of ideas that the Father's given me, things I've seen in heaven. We plan to create them through OneQuest International and actually put them in the marketplace. The marketplace is one of the main ways we will receive the wealth of the wicked, because when you create something they've never seen before, or they don't have, or they can't create themselves, even the world will run after those things. The Father has assured me of this, that people out there like the newest thing, you know, like the new cell phones and things like that. Every time a new one comes up, people have to have it. So when we put apparel, home decor, even places for fun and entertainment that the whole family can go to, I could just go on and on. Many things that are created and put in the earth, even high-tech things, we'll get those ideas and put them out there. In order to be able to create, you have to be happy and you have to be filled with God. But one thing you cannot be is sad. I've learned that sadness kills dreams. It destroys destinies. It puts you in a place of oppression. And if you don't get rid of the oppression, you go into depression and then despair. And the enemy will have you on a slick trail down into a pit. And you don't want to go there. And in a little bit, we're going to teach you and you're going to learn how to lose stuff from your soul that you don't want there, so you can be free, you can be full, you can be dangerous against hell. But it's going to be an exciting time on the earth with the creations and the inventions. God's actually going to have some people that he'll call as a treasure chest that will help provide finances for people to put things up from the kingdom, for the kingdom, into the marketplace. So this is what I would encourage you to do. Get a journal and write witty ideas and inventions on, and then ask the Father to give them to you as simply as we just asked. So we're going to do that right now. Father,
Father,
I ask for
and receive
witty ideas
and inventions
that will represent heaven
on this earth
to be put in the marketplace.
Amen. Woohoo!
Okay, we are now going to talk about loosing stuff from your soul. I know I don't usually know when I'm with the Father, how long I'm with the Father, earth time, but this time I did, this one time, and he was going to train me to use the keys to the kingdom. You know, that Jesus talked about, the keys to the kingdom, they unlock many things for many different purposes. It's not just for binding the devil. You know, the keys of the kingdom, loosing and binding. And the Father showed me another way how to use these keys to the kingdom to prepare you to actually rule and reign in the kingdom. Because you know that you can't really prosper until your soul prospers, so we're all going to say this scripture together.
I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
So guess what? A lot of people have been ignoring that second half of that scripture, even as your soul prospers, probably because they don't know what that means. But your soul is actually the very core of your being. And every time the Father or the Lord said, guard your heart, out of your heart flows, you know, all these things he mentions about the heart. The heart is actually your soul. It's the very core of your spirit. It's also a spiritual things. In other words, they couldn't do whatever they call that thing. What do they do that when they open you up after you've died?
They're gonna,
yes, thank you very much. Y'all are sharp. That's why I hired them. Okay? They're smart. Okay? You couldn't do an autopsy on a person and actually find their soul. It would be invisible. Well, actually, it wouldn't even be there anymore because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord or the other place. I hope you don't go there. Anyway, your soul and your spirit man stay together. You cannot separate them. And your soul, which I was shown by the Father, a human soul, is actually very beautiful. It's got this column in the very center of it. That runs almost the full length of your torso. And God wrote things on the column of your soul. He wrote words on there for you about your destiny and your purpose on the earth. And then up through the center of that column would be a spine, and that's the spine to your mind. Because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. What you think about, what you choose, and what you display or manifest. Your emotions are like pages in a book. When you open it back to back, and these every page would be a transparent image of you, but it moves because it's a spiritual thing. It moves almost like it reminds me of angel wings or something in the beautiful plants in the ocean that sway with the waves. And since your spirit man is continually receiving glory from God or things from heaven, every time you receive something or he downloads stuff into you, all those layers will move back and forth. It's really very beautiful. But he created your soul so you could be powerful, so you could prosper. We're going to talk just about half a minute, hopefully, on how a prosperous soul looks like. It is successful. It is happy. It is fearless. It is dangerous against the enemy. It has expectancy. It has celebration all the time. You choose, someone with a prosperous soul chooses to be happy. They choose to be successful. They choose to be victorious. They choose not to take the things of the enemy. They choose to obey the will of God. And they've learned the joy of obedience when they do that. So your soul was meant, that was what a soul was supposed to be like in the Word when they said, "Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless your holy name." They were blessing the Lord out of an abundant soul, out of a prosperous soul. That's a soul filled with life, with light. They have a future, a magnificent future. But a soul that is not prosperous can be defeated. It can be broken. It can be vexed. It can even be sick. It could be even missing parts of itself. Because when you have relationships with people, this is the way the Holy Spirit explained it to me. Whatever you enter into will enter into you. Whatever you give yourself to, you give a part of yourself to that thing. And actually what you're doing is giving a layer of your soul to create a soul tie with a person. It doesn't have to necessarily be like a parent or a best friend, you know, and these girls who their boyfriends dump them and want to kill themselves, or they have thoughts of suicide, is because they still are retaining that layer of that person's soul. And if you do have a sexual relationship, that sin is different, because when you do that, you give a layer of your soul to that person, and you get a layer of their soul deposited in your own soul. And that can sometimes mess you up. And we're going to get rid of all that, by the way, if you've ever had that happen. But if you're in a bad relationship, even in a situation in your home where it was a parent who abused you, that is a warped soul tie. And some people had that happen to them when they were children, and 40 years later, they're still having torment and dreams about that. That can be stopped also. People who give themselves to an addiction, that addiction isn't just moving into your flesh. A portion of the addiction moves into your soul. And then you begin to think about that drug or pornography or whatever it is that you're addicted to. You think about it, and then you choose with your will to have it. So it will control your life. Your soul is supposed to be guarded. It says, guard your soul or your heart, for out of it will flow the way you live your life. As a man thinketh in his heart or his soul, so is he. There's many scriptures that talk about this. This is how important for you to have this revelation. And in just a few minutes, we're going to do this together. And I'll explain what will happen. The Father taught me that what we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the word says Jesus is the restorer of your soul. So when you loose these things, you're going to choose as an act of your will to loose things from your soul. When you do, Jesus will come down and pull them out. Now you have to do this seriously, because this is something that means a lot to you. So this is the wonder of what you're learning right now, is that you don't need to have 4 weeks of counseling. You know, you don't have to have 5 days of deliverance. The reason the Father has revealed this is so that everything can be accelerated in our lives right now as believers. He wants you free. He wants you whole. He wants you prospering. And then you're dangerous against hell. So this is going to be a real simple process. So we will choose with our will to loose things from our soul. And we'll wait a few seconds, because I get waves of God all over me in the Holy Spirit when that happens, because I know whoever listens to this and applies this in your life, you're going to be free. And so the Holy Spirit gets really excited. Then when Jesus is done pulling all of that out of you, we will then ask the Father to download stuff from heaven, and we will bind that to our soul. And that will cause your soul to begin to prosper, because you know when you empty yourself, you don't want to leave yourself empty. You need to put heaven there instead of hell, who's been living there or camping out there. And by the way, let me share this with you before I start this. Don't let this be the only time you do it. This is what the Holy Spirit calls a soul checkup. We actually loose something, everything from our soul that impacted us throughout the day before you go to sleep at night. And the Father gave me that scripture, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And the reason why he said that was, if you go to bed with stuff in your soul, whether it's offense, anger, fear, whatever it is, if you don't get that out of there, it will affect not just your dream life, it will begin to get a hold in your soul, because this stuff is deposited in the layers of your soul. So you need to get it out as soon as possible. If somebody trashes you, bashes you, accuses you, instead of getting upset, turn around and choose with your will just to loose those words immediately. It'll be like it never happened. That is the mystic side of God. By the way, you'll hear more about that later. So this is something important, so we're all going to do it together, and then we're going to have God download things, and when we download these things in our soul, it will come in waves, and every time we download something, I'll feel another wave pass through me. It passes through everyone who hears this. Even if you don't feel it, some people will feel it very strongly, but that doesn't mean you're not receiving. If you ask him with your will, then you're going to get it. So here we go. This is not just an adventure. This is necessary. And we will include many things in this declaration. But if we leave something out that you've been involved in or you feel like you need to lose, then when you're done with this, you do that yourself. And make sure you have a soul checkup at least once a day, especially before you go to bed at night. If you can teach this to your children, then they will grow up knowing this. And another thing, too, is if your child gets bullied at school, as you have the watch over their soul, these young children, you can lay your hand on their head and say, I declare and choose as an act of my will to loose all the bullying, the harsh words, negative words, hateful words from my child's soul in Jesus' name. And Jesus will come and take them out, and they will live like that never happened to them. So get ready. All right, here we go. We're going to get rid of all the darkness, any offense, any fear, any lack, any addictions. This is amazing. I love this. So everyone here, by the way, this is my staff. And I'm so glad they came tonight to help me with this. It's a lot more fun to, you know, have people that love you with you doing this and instead of standing before a congregation you don't know. And I'm sure a lot of people got set free from it. So here we go. I will say something and they will repeat it. And then you can do that at the same time. Father.
Father.
I choose. As an act of my will.
As an act of my will.
To loose from my soul.
To loose from my soul.
All fear.
All fear.
All anger.
All anger.
All unforgiveness.
All unforgiveness.
All addictions.
All addictions.
From a person,
from a person,
a place,
or a thing,
they have to go.
They have to go.
I loose all lack.
I loose all lack.
And poverty.
From my soul.
I don't want it in my life.
I
loose all criminal activities.
I loose all criminal activities.
That may have done in the past.
Either by me.
Or my parents.
I loose all abuse from my soul.
Whether physical.
Emotional.
Or sexual.
I loose all the trauma.
From my soul. I loose from my soul. Any offense. That I have held.
I forgive those.
That were angry against me. I will not hold that.
In my soul.
I loose from my soul.
Any sadness.
Any oppression.
Any depression.
Any despair. Any and all.
Suicidal thoughts.
They have to go.
Right now.
I loose from my soul. Any unkind words.
Negative words.
Judgmental words.
Hateful words.
Wasteful words.
That I spoke myself.
Or others spoke to me.
I
will not keep them.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I loose from my soul.
Any terror.
Any dreams that came from Satan.
Any thoughts.
From my mind.
That will no longer
be a stronghold.
So I loose all strongholds.
From my soul.
I loose any witchcraft.
That I operated in.
Or watched.
Or read.
Or was practiced.
By a family member.
That I live with.
I loose any witchcraft.
That is operating against me.
Right now.
It is gone.
In Jesus' name.
I loose from my soul.
Any thoughts.
That I am unworthy.
Any doubts.
Any disbelief.
Or unbelief.
I loose it from my soul.
I loose any mistrust.
Of God.
And the promises he spoke to me.
I loose it all.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wow, that was powerful. If there's anything, like I said, if there's anything that we didn't mention, please make sure you can say that over and you can include that in that. And if you really had a really severe relationship with somebody, you feel like that might be hanging on to you, then just do that separately. I've had to tell some people to do that. And let me tell you, it may try to come back, but you can say no, because it will no longer be in you, pulling you into something. It may be presented outside you, but it's real easy to say, I evict you, you're not coming anywhere near me, and tell the devil to keep it itself. So here we go. Now we're going to get filled. Our soul is going to get filled with God, and it's going to come in a wave, so let's get ready. Father.
Father,
I choose as an act of my will,
as an act of my will,
to have you download from heaven,
to have you download from heaven,
so I can bind to my soul,
so I can bind to my soul,
your life,
your love,
your passion for others,
your joy.
Your creativity.
Your plans and purposes.
Your wealth.
Your kingdom age.
My ability to rule. The authority Christ has given me.
Revelation from heaven.
Witty ideas. Inventions from the idea zone. Your laughter. And celebration. Like they do in the throne room. The ability to have fun. And create fun places.
To understand your timeline.
To love others. To walk in the Spirit. To know the Spirit. Understanding of the Spirit realm. I bind these things to my soul. And I rejoice.
And celebrate.
Right now.
Woohoo!
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Make him your best friend. Wow, that was powerful. I love doing that. I know Jesus Christ is so excited right now. Heaven is filled in this room, by the way. We invited heaven to come, and they're layered in this room. And the presence of the glory is so powerful around us. And it's also going to be on the CD. And by the way, we just released that glory to everyone listening. Everybody hold their hands out. Let's all release it. Yeah. We release the glory of God and the presence of God in the lives of everyone who walks in the Spirit and runs in the kingdom. Amen. So there's an impartation from you, from everyone here. So we're going to learn something very simple. And I was actually caught up to heaven just to learn this simple thing that changed my life. This will actually change your life immediately. And it is something the Father has me do every morning before I get out of bed. Because you see, he knows us well. And I have a strong personality and I have a strong leadership skill. So sometimes when I came out of my room and started speaking, I wasn't always the nicest person. I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? But it's true. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was true. I would nitpick. I would complain. My sister Jen is shaking her head. And she knows this is true, but I know how she was before she asked to. You know, when you got that many members of your family living with you, something's bound to happen. And so the Father was going to fix it. And he caught me up one morning and he said, I want to teach you something that will change your life. In anyone's life who does this. And then he always quotes scripture to me. He said, there's grace, not just for eternal life, but there's grace for abundant life. That's why my son came to bring life and life more abundantly. And he said, I have grace myself. This is the Father speaking. I have grace myself. I talk about it in the word, come before the throne of grace to find grace for help in time of need. And I would say living in this world, that would be every day. Then he also told me that Paul learned about asking for that grace for abundant life because he kept asking the Lord to remove that buffeter of Satan from him. Remember when he had that buffeter come to him several times and he asked Jesus to remove it from him? What did Jesus say? He said, my grace is sufficient for the evil for the day thereof. And so he was showing you right there There is grace. Paul didn't need grace for eternal life, but he needed grace for abundant life. And so the Lord actually taught him about that, and you never heard him ask again, did you? That's because he was living in this abundant grace. And that's why in all the epistles, Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Because he learned something that changed his life, and you're going to learn that right now. And the Father said, go ahead and say this. He said, hold your hands out every morning before you get out of bed and say these words, because I don't want you stepping out of that room. I want you stepping out of the room filled with heaven, because when you ask for this, we will download from heaven fuel, like literally, like fuel for your car is not going to go anywhere without fuel, right? And so this is heavenly fuel for anything you will face every day of your life. You will respond differently. You won't get thrown into fear or offense. It's going to help you. And so I did this in the throne room, and he said, hold your hands out and say these words. So all my staff is going to say it with me. Father,
Father,
I ask for
and receive grace
for this day.
Amen.
And this very second, I am feeling that grace pour into me. It feels like a light electricity. And sometimes it's just a little bit, and some days it's a lot. And when it's a lot, I'll think, I wonder what's going to happen today. But you know what? It didn't matter, because from the day I did that, I am now the way you know me. Happy, excited, fun, very victorious in my life, because I always do this every morning, and I tell people, write it down so you don't forget, because if you do this for about a week, you'll be the happiest person ever, and you forget, you're going to think all hell has broken loose against you, because you'll be getting upset, you know, you might get into fear, or get angry about something, and you'll think, what's wrong with me? And if you can hear the Holy Spirit, he'll say, you didn't ask for grace. And then we taught my family to do this. We've taught our staff to do that. And if anyone forgets, we know who it is. It's the one who didn't ask. So we actually have a sign on the front door that says, did you ask for grace? So don't forget to do that, okay? It'll help you every day of your life, no matter what your situation is. Teach your children to do it, your grandchildren to do it, and then you won't have strife in your home. It's so powerfully amazing. So there you go. There's another tip, because you know what? In heaven, they don't have fear. They don't have anguish. They don't have offense. They don't get angry, upset. It's heaven culture to live that way. So this grace, this abundant grace, I'm not talking about grace for eternal life, and I'm certainly not talking about greasy grace. And you go, what is that? That's what the Holy Spirit calls the new thing that's out there, that once you get saved, you can sin all you want to, and the grace will cover all of it. Well, guess what? That is not going to happen. That's not what the Word says. It says, if grace abounds, should sin abound, much more abound? And God said, God forbid. You don't want to live that way, and I'll tell you why. Because if you sin and don't repent, you are helping the enemy, number one. Number two, you're watering down your authority over the enemy, if any of him is in you, because Christ said there's none of him in me. That means he hadn't taken anything of the enemy in him. And besides, when you walk holy, you are dangerous, all right? You choose to be holy too. Christ said, be holy as I am holy, and he's coming for a church without sin or selfishness. So if people say you can't live sin-free, you don't believe them. But back to the greasy grace thing that's being taught a lot of places. I literally know this to be true. I know people who are in churches that do that now. I know that in some Christian colleges, the professors are telling the girls they can sleep with their boyfriends because the grace will cover it. And the Holy Spirit has an announcement to make to this world and to the body of Christ. Christ did not come to die so you could freely sin. He came to die so you could have grace to be free from sin. So if someone brings it up to you, you tell them that. That is a quote from the Holy Spirit. We need to live sin-free, be sin-free. And you know, instead of thinking about sinning or not sinning, why not think about being holy? It is powerful. Let me tell you, holy is fun. Holy is being excited, being fun, filled with God, dangerous everywhere. You go to the enemy, the demons won't even want to be around you because your very presence will cause them pain. That's what happened with Christ, okay? Walking as a man on this earth, he lived sin-free. So yes, you can live a lifestyle like that. And so we're going to go on to manifesting. You know, it talks about in Romans 8, the manifested sons and daughters. And if you want to know what time it is, it's time for them to stand up, put their crown on, and start demonstrating who God really is. Because the word says that will happen. And it also says that when it happens, the earth itself will be blessed and healed. That's part of the time of the kingdom age that we're living in. That's why Christ isn't coming back right now. Remember, roll up your rapture rug, stick it in a closet. It's not your job or my job to decide when this is going to happen. When he comes, God the Father will send him, but he wants you to rule and reign first. And so you need to learn to manifest for him. So if you get your soul free, get it filled up, get grace every morning, and start stepping out and showing people who God is by the way you live. To manifest means to clearly and plainly make known who or what you represent. So the body of Christ has to stop demonstrating for the other side. When you choose doom and gloom, or you choose to hate people or shred people, you are not manifesting for God. And it's important for us to do that, because this is the time he's releasing that on the earth. The very earth itself is crying out. It says the earth is in travail. That's like earthquakes, things in the weather, all kinds of eruptions and disruptions around this world, because the earth itself wants us as the body of Christ to do something about it, because we're the ones who have dominion and authority in this earth. Don't sit there in your little one-bedroom flat thinking, I have a 12th grade education, I don't have a lot of money, I can't do anything. That came from hell, so kick that thought out. God made you wonderful. He made you amazing and very detailed inside. He made you to rule and reign with Christ right now in this world. And yes, that is very possible. To rule and reign with Christ brings glory to God. You get to carry the glory. You become dangerous against hell. It is so worth it to step into that. But again, you have to choose to do that. So the manifested sons and daughters are rising up. People aren't going to say, look at me, I'm one, look at me, I'm one over here. The world's going to know who they are, and the body's going to know who they are because of what they're doing. Like things like, you know, raising the dead that were cremated, and you go to someone's funeral, and here they are cremated in a jar. The Holy Spirit moves on you. You take the lid off the jar, and you say, I command your spirit to come back into your body. There's a whirlwind of ashes coming out, and there is the person. I promise you, everyone there will give their hearts to Jesus. And I was taken into the future and shown that as one of the manifestations of a son or daughter of God. I also saw these manifested sons and daughters stopping earthquakes and then making it, put it back the way it was before it happened. That is a greater work that Christ talked about. You know, we are over the weather. We are not under the weather. And as soon as you get that and start declaring it, instead of saying how awful the hurricane is coming, by the way, we didn't let it come to our city. We just recently had one forecast, and the weather people tried so hard to convince everybody it was going to be a devastating storm, and there would be storm surge and destruction. And the minute we found out about it, we said, that is not going to happen. I'm over the weather, not under the weather. Hit the storm in the eye, command the millibars to begin to rise in the storm, which sucks the life out of the storm. It was nothing. You know what happened? Our land got nice water, healed the land. It was not what they had forecast, because we gave our own forecast. We took authority over it, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's a manifested son or daughter. So we have a big commission right now in this world to make a difference, to draw people to the light of God in us. And let me tell you, we haven't been doing that very well, because God's coming for that church and a people, that the world will know us by our love for each other. So stop complaining, trashing and bashing. And in this very election, which, yes, I have to bring this up because it's also part of manifesting. A lot of the body of Christ has certainly been manifesting hell by trashing, bashing, cursing, and just hate spewing out of them over this election. And I'm just going to let you know, God has chosen Trump. I'm political because God is political. He chose him. He anointed him. Part of it because of his heritage. Part of it because he cannot be bought. He cannot be scared. And let me tell you, whether you like it or not, now you probably liked everything up until now. If there's something rising up in you against it, you left something in your soul. So kick it out. Get filled with God, run after His plans, and I promise you, He will sit in the White House as president, and everyone will enjoy all the things that He's going to do there, because He's going to wreak havoc on the political system, on the governmental system, on the laws of our country that have been taking away our rights instead of giving us rights. Jobs will be created, prosperity will come back to America, will actually be greater than it ever was before. This is God's plan. And the reason why people can't receive that is because you don't have His ways or thoughts, because He is strange. And so when you step into that place of a manifested son and daughter, you realize how strange and wonderful He is, and you begin to take His ways and thoughts. You will agree and surrender to whatever He has. So if you've been experiencing this, loose it from your soul, step into a place of surrender for God, and run after what God wants in this world, and you're going to run your race with the host of heaven. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Woohoo! Okay, we are now going to learn one of the most powerful things that the Father taught me. And in case you don't know who I am, well, go check it out. I don't have time to tell everybody, all right? I just have surrendered, died to myself. By the way, if you ever come to one question, you're not dead, we will kill you. All right, remember that before you put in your application.
Amen.
Okay, you won't be you anymore. You'll be God walking on this earth, loving people, cheering people on, creating things, and enjoying your life and laughing at the devil the whole time you're doing it. Right? That's where you need to be. So we're going to learn about the host of heaven. And I think, is that what I was saying before?
The host.
Yay, Cheryl, you get a gold star.
Yay.
Woohoo! I know it'd be better if it was extra money, but you're at least going to get the gold star. You will get a gold star, okay. So we all here in this room right now, we know about the host. We know how powerful they are. We know it makes a drastic difference in your everyday life. And who are the host of heaven? It talks about them all over in the Word. It is the army of heaven, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of hosts. And he's over Michael, who is, of course, captain of the host. He's an archangel. One-third of heaven's angelic realm are the host, and they like to be called the host, by the way. Gabriel has angels. He has the courier angels, the scribe angels, the worker angels, the messenger angels. And they're all very important. They also do things for you also. Even guardian angels, your own guardian angels, are actually under Gabriel. Michael handles only the army. And let me tell you, that army does not look like you and I. They are creatures, like the living creatures, or even weirder than that sometimes. I would even say fiercely bizarre, because they are created by God to war against the demonic army. The demonic army that beats us up almost every day. They kill, steal, destroy, take away our plans, rob us of money for whatever reason, put sickness on us. That's the assignment of the dark army. Well, we have an unseen team whose job it is to pull down strongholds, shred platforms that the demonic have built over generations, to destroy every plan of the enemy against us, our family, our destiny, even our governments, even our countries. And we have been either ignoring them or totally unaware of them for generations. But in the kingdom age, God is revealing them as one of your weapons. You know, we're in the Word where it says your weapons aren't physical, they're not natural, they're spiritual, they're powerful, they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, one of those weapons are the host of heaven. And the Father absolutely expects us to work with them and invite them in our life as a weapon, and then send them on assignments and give them orders. It's called commanding. That is not worshiping angels. And someone said that to me, well, you're worshiping angels. I went, no, I don't think a general in our army could be accused of worshiping, the men under him. They give him orders, and they clearly go fulfill those orders and carry out assignments. So there's a big difference. God himself said, command ye me, because he is tired of us begging and crawling, thinking he doesn't care about us. And by the way, Jesus Christ himself said, as a man on this earth, if I wanted to, I could call heaven's army to come and defend me, fight for me, but he didn't choose to do that. The host of heaven were created to keep us and protect us, and Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy. You know that scripture where he says that? And nothing by any means shall harm us. Well, how come that's not happening? I think because people don't, number one, don't know who they are. You don't realize what power and authority you really have in this earth. But whatever Jesus had and operated in, it is our right to have that. We're actually supposed to act like him in this earth. And because he gave us the dominion and the authority to do that. That's why he entered into hell. It was, everything was finished on the cross as far as our salvation. But he wanted more than that. He intended to get back our full authority and dominion in the earth. But it took a holy, righteous man that was in hell, wrongly accused, wrongly held, to have the right to shred, trash, and bash them in hell, take the keys of hell, death, and the grave, rise up out of the grave, and step into the flower beds and celebrate, and then go into heaven and pour out that blood on the mercy seat that wipes away all sin forever. When you receive him, let's add that in there. Everybody say, when you receive him.
When you receive him.
As your Lord and Savior.
As your Lord and Savior.
That puts you in heaven.
That puts you in heaven.
And gives you eternal life.
And gives you eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
There we had a little preach going. So you are going to actually right now be trained along with us how you invite this host of heaven, because the Father assured me that anything you get from heaven, you invite. You had to invite Christ in your life. You had to choose with your will to invite him, and then you invited him before he could come into your life and forgive you of your sins. And then if you're really wise, the next level up is the Holy Spirit. So if you ask the Holy Spirit to indwell you, I know when you get born again, he comes alongside you, but he will actually move inside you if you ask him. So you have to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And so this is the way, a protocol with heaven is you invite. They're not going to barge in your life and just take over. So we have to invite heaven's army. I had to do all this. And when you invite the army of heaven as your weapon and you choose that with your will, you will be assigned 100 members of the host of heaven that will then live over your house, and you will probably start seeing them in the clouds. Why the clouds? Because that's their camouflage. I can't tell you how many times it mentions clouds, you know. Angels come in the clouds. Christ rise in the clouds. There's a cloud of witnesses. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. But clearly heaven is connected with clouds on this earth. And when the army, this holy army of God, fights and war and wars with us or for us, they don't do that on the ground. They do that in the sky. So their camouflage are clouds. And sometimes you'll see images, and what they'll do is press their literal spiritual being into that cloud. And sometimes you'll literally see what they look like. But many times they actually have the ability to have hundreds of them come together in the clouds to create an image you see in the clouds. So, you know, if you were a seer, you would already see what was behind those clouds. I'm a seer, so I usually see all the army. And they will follow you everywhere you go. But you have to engage. What does that mean? You have to actually send them on assignments. And you have to be specific about that. And you can actually get a list out if you want one. And by the way, I'll teach you when we're done how to become deadly. You're dangerous when you use the army of heaven, because then they eventually will not want to attack you. When the demons come, they see the army, they know you use them, and they'll be shredded. So that gives you absolute protection. But later, if you get strategic, then you're deadly against the enemy. So we're going to do both. So right now, we're all going to invite the host, and then we're going to send them on an assignment as an example of how you do this. And don't just protect yourself and your family. You can send the army to shred the demonic army that are controlling wicked armies, wicked people, wicked bills that are being put into Congress, gangs coming into your neighborhood. Don't send them against the gangs, okay? Don't send them against your neighbor because the cat never stops yowling, all right? You can't do that. So here we go. Everybody ready? Father.
Father.
I choose. As an act of my will.
As an act of my will.
To invite.
Heaven's army.
To be one of my weapons. I receive them. And welcome them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Woohoo!
The reason we say woohoo is that is actually the host of heaven's battle cry as they go to destroy the works of darkness on our behalf. Over generations of time, the enemy builds platforms in the spirit realm that gives him leverage to great heights to see what's going on, and the army will go shred those platforms. That's what that means when we say that. They'll pull down strongholds of the enemy that have been built over your family, sometimes for generations. They actually can attack spirits of infirmity. Anything that's the demonic, they have the right and have been created to war against them and pull down things that can't kill them, but they will certainly destroy them, throw them in a dry place, which is also scriptural, and then they can't attack again. So here we go. We're now going to give them orders. I take power.
I take power.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Over all the power of the enemy.
And command.
And command.
The host of heaven.
The host of heaven.
To pull down.
To pull down.
Every stronghold.
Every stronghold.
Shred every platform.
Shred every platform.
Over my family.
Over my family.
Over my destiny.
Over my destiny.
Over my neighborhood.
Over my neighborhood.
I command you to trash that demonic army.
I command you to trash that demonic army.
Bash them.
Bash them.
Throw them in a dry place.
Throw them in a dry place.
Woohoo! Woohoo! And we're going to do one more thing just to demonstrate to you. Let's say the ISIS is showing up in another state, not the one you live in, but certainly you can do this anywhere. You hear about this in the world. By the way, if you watch the news, you now have an assignment to send the host to all those places, right? Don't just listen to something, some doom and gloom or fearful thing, and then repeat it. You are helping the enemy. Don't market them. You need to do something about it. So now we hear there's an ISIS group moving in an area. This is what you do. I take power.
I take power.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Over all the power of the enemy.
Controlling that ISIS group.
Controlling that ISIS group.
I command the host of heaven.
I command the host of heaven.
To pull down every stronghold.
To pull down every stronghold.
Every demonic being.
Every demonic being.
Fueling.
Fueling
and feeding,
and feeding,
understanding and knowledge,
understanding and knowledge,
to kill or destroy,
to kill or destroy,
people on this earth,
people on this earth,
go shred them,
go shred them,
destroy the strongholds,
destroy the strongholds,
hold down the platforms,
hold down the platforms,
trash them,
trash them,
throw them in a dry place,
throw them in a dry place,
and then
fear.
Fear.
Confusion.
Will fall upon the ISIS.
Will fall upon the
and
ISIS.
They will have a crisis.
And they will have a crisis.
Woohoo! Woohoo! And I'm about to end in just a few minutes, but please make sure this is not something you do one time. It is a lifestyle. What you're learning, heaven culture, is a lifestyle. Not the way you've lived in the past, talked in the past, or even operated with the things in the past. This is a new time. There's going to be new ways, new things to enter into. This is an exciting time. And so I want to encourage you to pursue Jesus Christ. Number one, we do all this for him, with him, and through him. My whole life is dedicated to him. And it says when you lay down your life, you will find it in him. And God said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What you declare and decree will be established to you. These things happen when you live your life surrendered to Christ, and you let all the selfishness go, run that race, get that prize, and bring glory to God. And so I'm excited that I got to share this with you, and God bless you, keep you. May you be great in the earth, manifest for him, kick back darkness, and declare the hosts are the most who make the enemy toast. Go make toast. Yeah. God bless you.